It's that time again. Yeah. Ya es la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that mean you take a loss and you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's saying what it say. Ya viene el tiempo. Entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. No te pierdas en doctrina como viento. Estudia y ora y aplica. Tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita. Escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas. Oye cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida. Nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour. Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history, it's the power hour. Yeah, learn hour. Tune in to your history. You know it ain't no mystery. Power hour. Yeah, learn hour. You know what you're true, you're let our power hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I am Captain Yahshua, and we have a special guest co-host with me.
Yes, sir.
My brother.
Yes, sir. All praises to the Most High, Captain Isaac.
Captain
here.
Isaac's in the building.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here, Captain Yahshua, for real.
IUIC Dallas by way of IUIC New York.
Oh, yeah.
New York, stand up.
Yes, sir.
He's a Brooklyn brother, though. Right. I'm from the Bronx. He's from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. You know. All praises to the Most High.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to
it's
have
honor,
you here.
It's an honor.
Yeah, man. When I mean 1088s when I met you, right?
Yes, sir.
When we went 1088.
1088.
So, yeah, probably maybe like a year, a couple years. But in the that's the beginning. 1088 was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember when you came in. I remember when you
yes,
came
sir.
In.
Yes,
I remember. Sir. I remember some questions and stuff that you had, and so I seen this, but we seen each other really because I was
yes,
still learning a lot, like just really. Mature in this walk. It's interesting too because today we're going to speak about continuing on with the topic of men and, you know, strong black and Latino men, right? Mm-hmm. Israelite men. And it's funny because I think walking into this truth, I could probably speak for you and say we were thinking we were men.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And we had a maturation that happened. So
mm-hmm.
It's a lot that goes in there. I'm glad to have you here. My brother came out to visit me.
Yes, sir.
When did you come? It's been about almost 3 years.
It's been a while. I was telling
since
the brothers.
You came to visit me.
Last time I was here, you guys had a black towel on the floor. So that's the other school.
That's the other school.
Yeah,
that's right. So you haven't even been to this school. Yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
First time.
Yep. So that's right. You came for the... When we were in New York, we would visit when they got the first school here,
mm-hmm.
Which was in the basement and had the carpet and stuff. Then when you came to visit me here in 2018... We had the new school on 19th mm-hmm. Avenue, and then now, I mean, we outgrew that, so we here now. So, all praises, man. I'm glad to have you.
Yes, sir.
Have some other captains right. visiting too. So, everybody said, "Hey, let's just go few Captain Yahshua real quick and see what's going on." So we have some of the OGs coming through. OGs coming through just to spend some time and catch up and things like that. So, I mean, we've seen each other since we left New York, different trips and things
yes,
like
sir.
That over the years. But we also got with us...
Officer Zara.
Officer Zara showed up because Captain Isaac was here.
Oh,
no, he
didn't.
Come on,
Captain
man.
Isaac.
Brought him out.
Yeah, man. You know, you can't get too much love in your own town. They get used to you. They get used to you. You know how...
Yeah,
yo, bro, you know how it
it's
is,
true.
Bro. It was up. When
that.
You first went to Dallas, it was... Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of like, yeah, that nuka.
Yeah. Hey, you're right. 100% right.
That's how it be. That's how it be.
Man.
And then we also got with us.
Soldier Tobias.
Soldier Tobias, man. Now, don't be shy and stuff like that. Cause
no, I'm just taking it in, man. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Don't be shy because I know you be speaking up and stuff like that. So you can speak up here, too.
Yes, sir.
Hey, while I share some links here real quick. I was trying to do it beforehand, but. Don't say how are you to somebody here. You can say how are you to the audience.
Hey, what's going on, Israel? All praise to the Most High. Thank you for tuning in to the Power Hour Plus with Captain Yashua, as y'all already know. Lord's will, y'all been keeping up with y'all health this past week. A lot of going on with the Omicron. It's been a lot of cases in Arizona here. I think the other day, like a couple of days ago, we had like 14,000 people tested positive.
Damn.
So
Esau's a devil.
Just in Arizona, so Lord's will, y'all paying attention to y'all health for real.
Yeah, there was a shocking revelation today in an article CNN posted. They find that, and I'm gonna say this bluntly, they use nicer words. If you fat, you're more likely to die from COVID-19.
Mm. Yep, I can see that.
Bro, of course they said. They said, you know, obviously they said obesity increases the risk and all that, but like we knew that.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that, you know. So
burn the fat, brothers.
Burn the fat.
And sisters. Especially sisters.
Man, we gotta build our bodies up and fight off all these plagues because it ain't gonna stop.
Right.
Now they're talking about flu rona.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And so you could get the flu and the rona at the same time.
Dang.
Hell no.
Flu rona.
Go ahead. I'm still posting. Talk.
Hey, two diseases right there, flu or rona. Man, I tell you.
Hold on.
Right, yeah, let's put it there. I'm gonna talk about it in a moment, but leave it there. I'm gonna talk about it in a moment. I gotta get logged in here. You know, I should just do this off of my own page, but I gotta log into two pages to share some of these links around.
Come on, man.
I know, man. Those are like the minor things, you know, like when you're so busy, like there's little things that like, yeah, you neglect yourself, you neglect smaller things, you know. Cab Isaac, what's going on in Dallas, man? How you been?
Dallas is going good. We have to shut the school down, unfortunately, because of the manufactured COVID-19. I gotta say it.
Right.
Everybody got sick, so we have to shut it down, unfortunately, for 2 weeks. Since COVID started, we never had to shut the school down before. So this is the first time. So.
Oh, wow. No, we've been through.
That's good right there.
Oh, yeah. All praises. Y'all been all right, then. We've been closed.
Yeah,
we got hit.
We had to shut it down, bro. So,
man.
But it should be open, Lord's will, this Sabbath. So
all praises.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All praises for that. All praises for that. I'm just sharing this last link here. All right. Try to get it out across the board. And y'all do the same thing now, too, you know. So make sure that you're sharing, subscribing, liking. All right. Continue to support. Hey, is YouTube all right? Hold on a second.
YouTube is on. Cap, we have a sister on YouTube saying she had pneumonia.
Oh, that thing was brutal. Every time I think about that, man, I had pneumonia. And that thing was horrible.
She named it Nerona.
Nerona. Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah, mine wasn't even related to Corona. Hey, are we on? Did you have to start over? It says stream 7 minutes ago.
No, we're on. I see it live on my.
Yeah, I do see it live, but then I see one that says stream 7 minutes ago. So that's gonna confuse people now. You better talk to your apprentices in that booth, producer.
Come on, man.
Goodness gracious. Oh, man.
Is Captain Abiel's spirit in there, too?
Bro, it's everywhere, and I see.
The Black
he is the progenitor of the IT teams.
Damn.
And that Abiel spirit is prevalent. It's prevalent. Yeah, pneumonia was rough. Pneumonia was rough. And mine wasn't even, first of all, it was an absence of flu or corona. And supposedly they said it was mild. That thing floored me, man. That thing, I mean, you know, man. I was telling you I was jacked up. Yeah, my brother sent me some herbs. You know, his wife specializes in, like, herbs and things like that. And I believe that tea helped me a lot, bro. My wife made sure she made the tea. I was drinking that tea for like the lungs. Captain Gideon has sent me some stuff, and it helped that I was in decent health. I'll say decent. I don't like to give myself too much credit. Doctor said I was in good health. He said mortality was 1%. I didn't feel like that. I felt like I was dying. It was bad. You know, my breathing, I didn't feel like suffocated. It was never that bad for me, but everything else was rough. So I'm telling y'all, stay safe out there, Israel. Stay secure. A, I want to bring this up because it's coming.
Right.
It's coming.
Bring it up.
I know we delayed a little bit on the feed. Yeah. They are here. Brothers who have seen me and sisters over the years know that the beer gains were not always there.
We need a before and after picture.
The beer gains were not always there. This brother met me. I had a fresh face. I had some fuzz on my mustache.
My man had whiskers.
Man,
now
hey,
he got a full grown beard.
What pages? Hey, if you go back to the first video I did with Captain Abiel, we did in Spanish.
Yeah, Israel Unido en Cristo. Right?
Yeah, Israel Unido en Cristo.
11 years old.
Go back to the oldest video.
I think he's 11 years old.
All right, and that should be the first video of us going over Deuteronomy 28. And you'll see where my beer journey began. So
I posted the video today. Opening for IUIC Phoenix, and you can see the difference.
Yeah, even then. And that wasn't even that you know. So yeah. Going back, I've been through some stuff. Now I got some gains. I've gone through a process where I've tried different products and stuff. I found something that worked. And we're bringing it to Israel, all right? It's not on the site yet. We're going to make the official announcement, Lord's will, on the Sabbath, all right? We created our own beard line based on my spirit. Look at them. Damn. Put it up there real quick. Put it up. Damn. And that's how Captain Isaac met me. Because that's 1088.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1088. I didn't even have a garment because the only brother that was allowed to go and read was Captain Abiel. So that was it. It was a two-piece garment. That was his underpiece. And he gave me the overpiece so we could go and record. Damn.
That's brotherly love right Damn. There.
Hey, nice. Let me tell you, man.
Y yo me llamo Yachua.
Oh, man. Hey, you see a difference, though. Okay, so put it back on me now. Get that out of here. Right. Speaking about the topic today, from boys to men, all right? Mm-hmm. Still a boy there, but I have more understanding than most other boys at that point. But, you know, the beard has come in more, all right? All praise to the Most High. I give a lot of credit to the oils and stuff in here, all right? You'll check this out. We're going to have these nice kits available, all right? It's going to have a a day tonic, all right? And then there's also a night tonic, all right? A night elixir that you put on, all right, to help the beard process and grow. And it also comes with a balm, all right? Kind of has a medium hold, gives it some more nutrients from the different oils and butters. And then we also throw in a bonus beard brush, all right? And Lord's will, I will be doing like vlogs on process and routine and how it worked for me and the things I did. And we'll explain how you use the whole treatment, all right? That's going to be on Original Royalty, Lord's will, after Sabbath, all right? After Sabbath. Let's keep that there so they can keep seeing that, all right? So, Israel bringing things out. We putting things out there. I know my brothers that were in the struggle with no follicle growth, all right? I got something for you. Hey, we got one of them brothers right here.
Yeah.
Guilty.
All right?
Guilty.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to get the scruff bomb kit. This is the beard bomb kit. The scruff bomb, it's a little stickier, so it sticks to the little baby hairs that don't grow.
The ones that don't want to go to work.
Yeah, and you just kind of get in there. So it stays on there. Yeah. Yeah, Lord's will, we're going to get the brothers that know about marketing and stuff, and we'll do the ads and all that. No pre-orders yet, sis. No pre-orders yet. But I'm getting the hype. We're getting the word out, okay? And we're gonna have that going on there. Hey, I want to start with that article. We're going to talk about that real quick. We got a lot to cover today. We got Cap Isaac, always insightful.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, you know, Don't let me just run with it. You know, people want to hear you too. I promoted you on the ads as a special guest.
No
right?
problem,
so,
brother.
You know, bring it out.
Bring it out.
Hey, so let me show you this here, man. And get me the one about popular persuasions and commotions and all that. Give me that scripture real quick. So it says, so this is coming out in the new, and this is going to segue with the topic, all right? Because the title of the book that we're using for this series on manliness, all right, by the way, the beard line is called Manly Badge of Dignity, all right? So
nice set.
Dealing, yeah, beautiful, right? Yeah, you see it in person. The video don't probably do it justice.
It looks better than what's in the stores.
Yeah. Hey, we made sure that we were going to, because, you know, Israel be hard to do business with sometimes, man. They don't give no mercy. They'll give Amazon mercy. They'll give, like, the Chino shops that they buy from online and stuff like that mercy,
right.
The Arabs. They come to you, boy. That thing better do all types of stuff for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that thing better make them lose weight, all that. Watch, I'm telling you. I know. I see the emails we get in OR. The name of the book that we've been using is called Hard Times Create Strong Men. All right? Bible tells us that we got to gird up our loins, right, manfully. We got to stand for the Most High because there's an agenda against what we're trying to do, and it's against everything that they do. Everything that they put out is opposite. Even if it seems like it's, that kind of sounds like it's in line with the scriptures. It don't fall for it. Their agenda behind those things is opposite of what the scriptures say. All right. So before you read that scripture, this article, Bishop Nathaniel posted it. It says, what is 12 tribes? Authorities suspect cult land as source of Colorado wildfire. I have never seen an article where they talk about the source of the wildfire where somebody's beliefs or religion has anything to do with it. And I'm going to show you how the news article is framed in such a way, because somebody will read this and say, well, they're not saying because they're a cult they started the fire. They're looking for opportunities, and this is no different than what Nero did in Rome, blaming it on the Israelites, the fires and things like that, because they're trying to hinder the building of what we're doing.
Right.
And so if they can put something out there, this is a psychological thing, right? They put suppositions so that you surmise and fill in. You'll read this article, and somebody will debate what we're saying and say, well, they're not saying because you're a cult and they did it, but what does one have to do with the other?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just the mere, in the court of public opinion, how they frame these things creates this type of negative connotation when it comes to what we're doing. So it says, what is 12 tribes? Authorities suspect a cult land as source of Colorado wildfire. So let's read the article so you can see the craftiness in this. So it says, authorities have honed in on a potential source of the devastating wildfires that have wreaked havoc across Colorado over the last week. They use such strong adjectives in these things, too.
Right.
The Marshall Fire, now the most destructive in the state's history, may have started on land owned by what some have dubbed a religious cult. The 12 tribes. The focus moved to the area after an observer driving by noticed a shed on fire. They probably lit it on fire and did the video so that they could do this agenda.
Right.
All right. On land owned by the sect, the subtleties of the words that they use, right? If it was a traditional Christian denomination, they would not use sect.
Nope.
Right.
They would say the church, Christian group.
Right.
But they use words that have negative connotations like cult and sect. On the morning before the wildfire started, the observer shot a video of the blaze, which was posted to Twitter, because, you know, every freaking moron has a platform with social media, by user Anjan Sabkota on Thursday. It has so far been viewed over 117,000 times. And they link to it. So now you have something like Newsweek that has a wide audience, and then they link to this Twitter thing because they understand how this works to make it go viral.
Right.
That reminds me, I forgot. I saw something. I think it was that series that came out on Netflix that was supposed to be about the Messiah. I think it was called The Messiah,
right?
And it was trash. But there's the elements that I liked in it was that they showed you how the FBI and the CRA can manipulate social media, not by hacking into it and typing their own stuff, but just using morons and stuff like this.
Right.
Release it to the media, and they know that the way people are, freaking lemmings, they're going to go ahead and make it go viral, and then we'll frame what we need to frame.
Right.
So they went and they used that opportunity, same thing like with this, and then now, hey, let's have, well, which news channel? No, we want this on CNN and Newsweek and Fox and all this other stuff. Oh, well, you know, we got a little local, but no, it has to be, release it to the big places. Let's leak it.
See, that's why the mouth of the beast is so important.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak about the mouth of the beast, you know, that's Esau's social media.
Right.
And it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. You know, it can convict you before anything, before the whole world.
Yep. That's exactly it. And they're trying to convict you in what they call the court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if they do that, right, you persuade the masses. It's like in that movie Gladiator, right, when he says, if you win the crowd. She told him, he's like, what can a slave do? This was Maximus. What can a slave do? Whatever. She's like, win the crowd and you'll win the people. And,
right.
You know, you'll be able to have a voice and a platform.
Right.
The mob. They call them the mob in that movie at certain points. Oh, you satisfy the mob. Give the mob blood. And they'll love you. They'll revere you.
Right.
And that's how he got his people behind him.
Right.
You know? And you notice they had, like, no opinion of their own, right? Mm-hmm. The emperor was like, okay, kill him. No, he's going to be merciful. Oh, he's merciful. He's merciful. Right. And they all were on his side.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's like, it's the same thing like today. Nothing's changed. You know, it's like with Deacon Athan's class that he just brought out. Well, right. About what was, is, and all that. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And the same spirits are here. It's that same generation. They're here for the same thing, just different purposes now. Now we're trying to build up ourselves spiritually because our warfare is spiritual. The Bible tells you principalities and wickedness in high places, and you got stuff like this.
That's right.
Let's continue to read on. So it says, authorities now believe that at least the Marshall Fire started somewhere in the vicinity of the shed. So the article says it started there. Scroll up. By now, can you guys know when I say up, I mean the other way? Goodness. So it says authorities have honed in on a potential source of the wildfires. And then down here, it says now they believe that it started somewhere in the vicinity of the shed.
Mm.
And in the court of public opinion, because I forgot what the effect is called, but people get comfortable and in a way lazy when they read.
Mm-hmm. Skip over things.
And you don't really consume all the words.
Right.
You key in on certain words.
Like the highlighted part.
Right, like the highlighted part. Yep.
In parentheses.
Yes, and you'll look at all those different things, and then that's how you'll read things. Like you'll see those in memes and things like that, where people say how, look, people can read this because the way the mind works, you don't really read all the words anyway, and you'll be able, it'll be like those faded out or upside down things, and you're able to process it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they say, oh, it maybe. First they said it's a potential source. Then they said they maybe believe it was where it was. So it says the fire originated somewhere in that neighborhood. Boulder County Sheriff Joe Pele told reporters at a Sunday press conference. There was a viral video that was posted of a shed on fire. We don't know that the shed started the fire or whether it was secondary. But it's already too late.
Right.
So what's the importance of the
Because
shed?
The way the headline is, the way the whole thing is over there, people are going to suppose, right, that
right.
some evil cult started the fire. Because, they play on the emotions, and they play on the fact that this the most devastating fire. People have lost homes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any lives have been lost yet with this particular fire, all right? And look, that might not even be the freaking picture of it. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Mm-hmm. But they do stuff like that.
Right.
And they'll put a picture. And since nobody really reads the small things, right, you don't know.
It's like two homes right
here. Look at that. So they're talking about the shed, and this isn't even a picture of the shed. It says above, two homes burned during a wildfire in the Centennial Heights neighborhood.
The hell is this? And look at the language that's used right there in small letters.
Yep.
It says Colorado authorities now suspect that the Marshall wildfire started on land owned by the 12 tribes of religious sect of Israel.
And you would think that this picture then is of that land. Oh, look at a fire burning. Dang, that evil cult started that fire.
Right.
And it's not even a picture of that, because if you continue to read on in the credits, that's two homes in another area that who knows how many hundreds of miles away from where they claim it started on fire.
Right.
All little subtleties that they do to put that thing out there.
Mm.
So this is initially founded in Tennessee in the 1970s. The 12 tribes, first of all, the fact that they're even going into this history of this, but relating to a wildfire.
What does it have to do with it?
I'm telling you, and most of our people and most of the world is not woke. They're not sober-minded, so they won't be able to see through BS like this.
Right.
It's fake news. Initially founded in Tennessee in the 1970s, the 12 Tribes is a fringe Christian fundamentalist sect. That's another thing. You hear fundamentalist, negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Negative connotation. But in sports, it's not, because they're always talking about your fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
In boxing, it's not. They're always talking about your fundamentals.
Foundation.
Right.
Yep.
Your foundation, your fundamentals. Baseball, that's a big word, your fundamentals. But when you put all these words together, a fringe,
mm-hmm.
right? Then they put Christian. I'm surprised they give us that much credit. Fundamentalist sect that advocates a literalist interpretation of the Old and New Testaments. It also takes a dim view of all other Christian denominations. Ooh, now let's paint a bad guy. It's against all other Christian denominations. The 12 tribes is a confederation. That's another word that triggers people. Of 12 worldwide self-governing tribes made up of self-governing communities, the group's website states, we are disciples of the Son of God, whose name in Hebrew is Yahshua. We follow the pattern of the early church written in Acts 2:44 and 4:32, sharing all things in common. We believe everything that is written in the Old and New Covenants of the Bible. Since its founding, the group has established locations across the United States. Oh, they're everywhere now. They're an evil cult that starts fires that destroys your homes,
right.
And they're everywhere.
As well as in
South America, Europe, and Asia.
Mm.
Its members operate various cafes, delis, and restaurants, including one in Boulder County, Colorado, known as – but at this point, what is this – the article tells you that it's about the source of the fire, and now they're trying to put – these people's business out on Front Street.
Right. What does that have to do with the fire?
Right.
Now they're about to destroy their business.
Right.
Destroy their business.
So when they find the individuals who start most wildfires because they flicked a cigarette or did a campfire where they didn't, do they go into where they live and what their beliefs are and what their background is?
Nope.
But it's such a setup.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
So it says in 2018, and of course, because there's some sort of authority. They're not some government entity. Right? The CDC is full of crap, too, but at least the CDC is like a sanctioned entity,
mm-hmm.
right? The National Institutes for Health is like a sanctioned entity for whatever that's worth. But my comparison is the SPLC is not sponsored by anything. And again, playing on words, Southern Poverty Law Center. They sound legitimate. It's like the Federal Reserve. There's nothing federal about it.
Right.
If you know about money with that stuff.
With pending lawsuits, by the way.
Right. With pending lawsuits. Thing is, their pockets are deep, so a lot of people don't try to run up and fight them,
mm-hmm.
because, and then it's run by a bunch of lawyers, so it makes it even more difficult to deal with them. And that's their game.
Mm-hmm.
They like to pull you into lawsuits so that they can suck your funds dry, your operating funds dry. So it says the Southern Poverty Law Center, all right, defamation artists, professional defamation group, described the 12 tribes as a cult. And detailed some of its allegedly hateful and problematic beliefs. Christian fundamentalist cult born in the American South in the 1970s is little known to much of the country. And on first impression, this is from SPLC's website, its communes and hippie vibe restaurants and cafes can seem quaint and bucolic. Right? So look, so this is what they said their businesses are like. So this is a group, right? I'm not sure where their doctrine lies. I'm not that familiar with them as far as if they are fully on board with the Bible, because there's a lot of groups that say that.
Right.
But regardless, right, it's an attack on one of our groups is attack on all of our groups.
Right.
Because who you think they're going to come to next and try to pin stuff on? They already did it with us with the Jersey shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They try to get press vibing for that.
Joy.
They try to do it with Peter Moses. They try to do it with Joy more mm-hmm. recently. All right.
You know what this reminds me of is the you seen that show? I think it's on BET, The Rockadooshies.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't seen it.
That's what it reminds me of.
Mm.
What they're explaining in the article.
So it says, but beneath the surface lies a tangle of doctrine that teaches its followers that slavery. They get the guy that used to do Unsolved Mysteries to do the voice of this, right? So it sounds like more persuasive, you know? They put the deep.
Bruh.
The surface lies a tangle of doctrine that teaches its followers that slavery was a marvelous opportunity for black people who are deemed by the Bible to be servants of whites, and that homosexuals deserve no less than death. But see, but is that true, though?
Not at all.
What does the Bible say about sin? All manner of sin you can repent from, except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So, no, we don't say homosexuals deserve no less than death. That ain't true. If you don't repent, you're going to get no less than death.
Right.
But salvation and mercy is open to you.
To everybody.
And guess what? Do you know how many Christian groups say the same thing? But because it's not us.
Right.
It's not a big deal when they do. So it says the sect has previously been investigated for alleged breaches of child labor laws, and these are all tactics. This is, and when we read the scripture, you're going to see this is all popular persuasions to try to paint a picture in the court of public opinion so that it goes viral and it perpetuates itself. We're the enemy, we're the worst, so on and so forth. And has run into legal trouble in Germany over its homeschooling practices. So basically, they're trying to put the message out, wherever we go, we're no good.
Right.
Right? So it says, in 2019, a former member told the University of Colorado Boulder student newspaper, CU Independent, that he was beaten as a child during his time in the 12 tribes. With no context or nothing. I was beaten as a child in my mom's house.
Right.
And I'm better for it. Because I was bad.
You and I both.
And I needed my ass beat.
Right.
Or I'd have been dead. Or strung out on drugs or worse. So, again, you see how they just drop these things? This thing is a propaganda piece if ever there was.
Right.
And it says, at the Sunday press conference, Sheriff Pele stressed that the exact origin of the Marshall fire has not been definitively proven and refused to speculate on the matter.
Hey, you know what's crazy?
But yet they just put a whole article condemning. Go ahead.
They didn't even say how much the fire burnt.
Right.
How many acres did it burn? Anything like
that? None of that.
It could have been just a shed, but what?
Mm-hmm.
You get all that.
So then he says, it's complicated and it's under snow, he said. We will sort it out. It's an active, open deal, and the outcome of that investigation is vital. There's so much at stake, so we are going to be careful. When we reached by Newsweek for comment from the Boulder County Sheriff's Office, had nothing further to say on the matter. That ain't the end of that. They're going to try to do something and say something and because they got to demonize somebody.
Right.
Not realize, you know why the fire started? Because they're evil and the earth is fighting for us.
Right.
And God set it up that way. Mm-hmm. So that spiritual fire that you can't weigh, you don't know the properties of it, all right? Because they don't.
Right.
They can tell you that it's not present in opposites of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
They can harness it to utilize it for certain things. But they can't tell you the composition. They can tell you the composition of water, allegedly. They can tell you the composition of carbon monoxide and all, you know, the elements table. Fire is not on that, nor is lightning. They can supposedly tell you the composition of water, but they can't make it. They know these things, right? They can synthesize certain things based on – it's all BS. You know who had proper understanding of that? Solomon, right? He knew all the elements, and he understood that stuff.
Yep.
He knew how to do that and fabricate all those things. So why do I bring this out? Well, first of all, it angered me, and I saw it. It was just posted prior to the show. And secondly, it kind of goes, as we segue into the topic, and, you know, we'll try to get as much in as we can, how critical it is that these hard times, just like the title of the book, create strong men. And we don't care about strong men for the heathen and the other nations. We care about strong so-called black, Latino, indigenous men, strong Israelite men.
That's right.
That's right.
Because these are hard times when they're trying to pin things like this on us. It's only going to get worse.
Right. You know what's crazy about this? Go back up to the date. Oh, matter of fact, it's right there. Update 1-4-22. So Deacon Ithan just went over something similar when he was talking about the Caesar Nero and what he did when he blamed the fire in the Colosseums in Rome on the Israelites. But look at this. Look at Amos chapter 3, mm-hmm. verse 7.
Hold what you got there, because I never read it.
Where was it at?
Yeah, I want to go back and read it.
You got it?
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah. Amos 3, verse 7. This is, you got to understand that the Most High is in charge of everything. He's a genius. He's the mastermind behind everything. Israel, don't worry. The tribulation is going to come, but you're going to be all right. You are going to be all right. Watch this. Go ahead.
The book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing,
mm-hmm.
but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
So it's the same thing. Deacon Ithan brought this information out on Saturday, exactly what Nero did in the children, Esau, is doing today with this Colorado thing. But the Most High had the Sabbath class come out first to get our minds prepared. So when we see things like this, we don't get all scared and fret and so forth. We see exactly who the devil is and what he's doing.
Mm. All praises. Go back to where we were, Ezra's, right? Let's read that real quick.
I think you want to first Ezra 5 and 73?
Yeah, is it 73 or 75?
And by their secret
plan. Yeah, that's what I want. Go ahead, read that. Because this is part of that. Mm-hmm. And this is why these are hard times. Because when they, listen, for them to find any of our groups, mm-hmm. right? And they're not wrong. That's, I mean, I don't know too much about them. They probably are more of a fringe group. That right. doesn't make them, remember, the bishop brought it out years ago. Most High's dealing with all the Israelite churches on some level or for whatever his purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
We've right. said that before. IUIC is not the only place. Obviously, our work speak for ourselves and right. what we're doing. Most High has chose us to be that
Vanguard.
That vanguard. Mm-hmm. Most High has chose us to be the vanguards. All right. But at the end of the day, it affects all of us when you see stuff like this. Right. So go ahead. Read what you got there in Ezra.
The book of First Ezra, chapter 5, verse 73. And by their secret plots and popular persuasions and commotions, they hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived. So they were hindered from building for the space of 2 years until the reign of Darius.
Right. So it's the same type of tactics that they use. Read it from the top again.
The book of First Ezra, chapter 5, verse 73. And by their secret plot.
Right. So their secret plots is their whole agenda that they have against us.
Right.
Anything that they move forward in the earth, it's always with the Israelites at the forefront of their mind. Because they know that when we come together, when our boys become men,
mm-hmm.
when that elect number is sealed, it's game over for them.
Right.
So they have thousands of secret plots that they try to employ against us to keep us down. And one of the main ones that we're going to be dealing with as we continue on with this series is the effeminization of our men, or like I brought out in last week's show, the pussification right. of our men mm-hmm. and our boys. That's what they're going to try to go into.
And popular persuasion.
Right. So how they do these popular persuasions is the way they set up these articles. You see the way this article was worded, how they put things out there.
Right.
It's to persuade somebody. Right. There's a convincing process. So they do it with subtlety, with their words, with things like that. And then they'll say, oh, well, all we did was post an article. But then look at similar wildfires. Mm-hmm. And when they've gotten the source of it, look, so the one that they did in California where they charged the power company, I think, right? It was like a power company, I think, when we had the bad ones like a year or two ago in Cali. I think it was a power company. They made them pay damages. Did they talk about what the CEO believed, what
no.
the employees' beliefs were? None of that stuff.
Hmm.
Had nothing to do with it. Go ahead, read.
And commotions, they hinder the finishing of the building.
Right, because that's their purpose, to try to hinder us.
Right.
So that's why these hard times have to create strong men, and the men that are already strong need to be stronger.
That's right.
Need to be stronger. Let me get Job 40 and 7. Job 40 and 7. We got to be ready. When you see attacks like this, and the simp become men. Nothing's impossible with God. Brother Tilo, nothing's impossible with God. You can put off that simp spirit if you're willing to be worked with. And we're gonna talk. We're gonna read more of the book. But you have to understand, it's hard. It's hard. And we can never forget that it's the Most High who put us to sleep. So it's only Him that can open that understanding.
Right.
So our job is not really to try to change the simp, but to get to those that the Most High foreknew and has set up to wake, right? To predestinate.
The elect.
Mm-hmm. That elect. And we don't know who that is. So who what? We speak to all Israel.
Yep.
We speak to all Israel, near and far. That's why the gospel has to be preached in the whole earth. That's why we have to go out into the highways and the hedges. That's why the line must go out into all the earth. Because Most High didn't tell us who. Because if we knew who, we would just target that thing, right?
Go
and move forward and go straight to him.
Right.
Hey, I need you to wake up. That's the beauty of the way he has this whole thing set up. That's how he's extended the time.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's how he's going to shorten the time. Because in the spirit, right? Remember when Bishop Nathaniel said, hey, in the spirit, we got to go to Africa more.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go. Years we were talking about, hey, the Hamites. And there's a lot of Hamites there. Make no mistake about it. But the spirit changed on Bishop. Most High gave him a revelation, a manifestation in the spirit.
Right, right.
And he said, we need to hit Africa harder. Right. We need to go to this place and that place and this place because there's a remnant there. God pointed him in that direction. And that doesn't mean everybody in those cities and in those coasts and in those places are Israel and will repent, mm-hmm. but there's a remnant that will.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a remnant that will, and those things must move forward. Go ahead, read that.
The book of Job, chapter 40 and verse 7. Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me.
Right. The Most High demands of us that we go out and we fulfill our obligation. The Most High demands of us as he manifests different levels in that manifestation of the spirit, what we are to do and how we are to use our skill sets for our reasonable service to him. He demands. He's not asking nicely.
Right.
Remember when he took, was it Habakkuk he took? Grabbed him by the hair vehemently in his vehemency.
Right.
Went over that in a class here in Phoenix. The definition of that vehemency. Vehemently took him. Moses tried to say, oh, I don't know, I can't help you. You're going to do the thing. Oh, how many were like, man, I'm just but a child. You're going to do, I demand of you. So you better gird your loins up. We don't got time for the distractions and the popular persuasions and the commotions that are out there. Let those who are ordained to that be that, but we got to talk about it. We got to bring it to their attention so that those seeds are sown. Someone else will water it, but God gives the increase, the Bible tells you.
That's right.
Jeremiah 1 and 17. Jeremiah 1:17.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them.
That's what he demands of us. And we're not going to be backed down by it. You read in Ezekiel, he says, I've made your forehead stronger than their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
What's behind the forehead? Your brain. He strengthened our mind. He sealed us with a dispensation of the gospel so that we can go ahead and he commanded us and arise and speak to them that he sends us to. And he says, you better not be afraid. You better man up. Those hard times need to create strong men and stronger men. Because if not, he says, I'll confound you before them. You'll be overcome by the simpleness. Right? You got anything you want to say? I'm going to jump into the book, Cap.
So all the things that you're talking about builds character, all right? And that's how you become a man. You got to go through things. The Most High is going to put you through things to build better character. Notice what he said in Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, real quick. You could throw the word simple in here, too. Okay? The simps of our people. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. Look what he said.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20 and verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and vain?
What man is there that is a simp who's not ready to gird up your loins like Captain is bringing out? Go ahead.
And faint-hearted.
Uh-huh.
Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart.
And not to go back to the article that you just brought out, Cap, but that's why the Most High set it up like that. Deacon Ithan brought the information out, the history out on Nero, what he did to prepare the minds for the people. So when they do see this article, they don't become faint-hearted.
That's why
I said the Most High God, he is the master genius chess player. All right? There's no reason for us to be faint-hearted and fearful and so forth.
Mm-hmm. All praises. Hey, let's not forget, as we segue into reading back in the book in a moment, you can call in with your questions or comments on the topic, all right? 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797, all right? You'll get screened by the producers, and we'll see if we got some airtime for you, all right? You can call in and speak with us, okay? So we've been reading from Hard Times Create Strong Men. All right. And he's very, some of the language will warn you, just like last week, we showed you the different clips. All right. It's funny. We should not accustom ourselves to opprobrious words, but when you're trying to reach into the spirit of somebody, all right, sometimes you gotta hit them with some of these things. All right. Mm-hmm. as they are. It's not like we're coming up with these words. I don't run around and speak it. But if you're reading something, if you're showing something that's a little offensive, nobody has a problem with it, right? Until we're trying to change a behavior, right? We're trying to give some guidance and show that stuff. So temper that resolve, all right? I know it's late in a lot of time zones, so maybe your children are in bed and they're not listening. But, you know, if you're easily offended, all right, some of the things we're going to read, there's some F-bombs in the book, so on and so forth, all right? Just be mindful of that, all right? Hard times create strong men, all right? I just found out that the guy who wrote this actually died. He was going through some stuff with cancer and whatnot, but he was very passionate about this particular subject, all right? So let me get the first – I put them in order. You got them in order. Not the first one? Are you sure? Let me double check. All right.
Yes, sir. I went by what you said.
Yeah, I got to double check you.
Come on, man.
I got to double check you, bro. You get what's meat. All right. So we left off last week talking about the first thing that we were thinking about and going into was just the outside influences. We're still dealing with outside influences and these popular persuasions and commotions that are out there, right? And we're also going into... We finished up where they were talking about the women, and we were saying that there's a oppositeness, right, that is attractive, mm-hmm. the way the Most High made male and female, right? There's a reason he did that. And the author went on to say there's a lot of confusion with homosexuality and transgenderism. He's going to talk about it a little bit more in a couple of lines that we're going to read. And he mentions also that even in homosexual relationships, there's still a search for the other, mm-hmm. because there's one that's more macho and there's one that's more feminine, whether it's male or female.
Right.
So you can't try to get over what God ordained,
right.
with your own lust. And you're driven away of your own lust doing that which is unseemly, like the scripture says,
mm-hmm.
right? Not using the natural use of the woman, right? And vice versa for the man, okay? And even when you get into that homosexual relationship, what are you looking for? You're looking for an oppositeness,
right.
because there's a butch, right? And there's a femme.
Right.
There's a top in their vernacular and a bottom.
Right.
Oh, God. We got it.
Right.
Got to keep. Got it. Yep. That's what it's like in that room. So he says, my heart is heavy with emotion to give you this manual on how to be a man. Now, he calls his book The Manual on How to Be a Man. What's lacking in his book is two things. First of all, he's addressing all nations.
Right.
And we understand the ones that it's important for us to gird up our loins and man up. That message is distinctly delivered to the so-called black, Latino, indigenous men, the diaspora in Africa and abroad, all right? The Israelites who meet the curses of the Bible. And the real ultimate guide is the scriptures, all right? We're gonna emphasize that today as well. So it says, unfortunately, the delivery systems of this information have been systematically destroyed over the years by cultural shifts, men of power, political correctness, women, and feminism. Mm. These all go into those persuasions, those commotions.
Secret plots.
Secret plots. Feminism is a secret plot to weaken our men.
All right.
To keep boys, boys, grow up physically strong.
Mentally weak.
Mentally, spiritually weak, emotional. So he's telling you, and there's men in power that do it. He says cultural shifts. We spoke about the code of personality. We spoke about the zeitgeist last time. We'll speak about it again briefly. He says, may this book serve as the father you never had to guide you to becoming a strong man. And I tell you, that's a sad state that we're in.
Right.
That we would need literature, even with the power of the Holy Bible, right? To bring us back. But God's a mastermind in how he did that. And I also got the scriptures going to tell you that's why those come out of that deep slumber and embody what the scripture says, right? That complete man, like we have the 300 program.
Mm-hmm.
Those are to be a father to the fatherless.
Right.
So it's not just in the book. The book gets us there, and then we fill that role by examples.
To start.
We're that light that shines in that dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that our people aren't groping at noonday like if it's dark.
Right.
Because that's what you see now. And it's a sad state for our young men.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, it's a sad state for our grown men.
Mm-hmm. They're boys, little boys.
Little boys, little boys. And I don't care how big and how tough you are and how good you can fight. Yeah. It's beyond those things that create a man. Right. Yeah, you know, don't be no wimp. But if that's all you bring to the table,
what good are you?
What good are you?
Right.
How does that benefit your people?
Right.
How does that benefit the greater good of God's mission of what he demands of us?
Right.
It's bigger than that. So he says, I also dedicate this book to young males everywhere, boys, men, strong men, weak men, males of all types, who wonder what a man is and who challenge modern ideas that purport to answer that question. Because modern ideas don't see, that's why you ever heard the term a Renaissance man?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the term Renaissance because the connotation that it has, what we understand with Rome coming right. back into power. Mm-hmm. But what they're trying to say is that's a classical man, a time when men were strong, convictions were set up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think of that biblically, because when you look at Esau's empires, Greek Rome, right? They say strong men, right? Right. It's a lot of homosexuality rampant in that,
right.
especially with the Greeks.
Pedophilia, right?
Right? They love boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that pedophilia, all that stuff. I think of our forefathers, the men in this Bible, that manliness, right?
That's right.
Scripture talks about when they saw the manliness. We just came out of the Feast of Dedication of those men, how put fear into the heart of our enemies. And they weren't trained warriors. They were farmers. They were husbands. They were fathers. Mm-hmm. Who just by the power of the Spirit of the Most High were able to fend off 10 times the amount of men. 7, 8, 9, 10 times the amount of men that came at him. So he says, this is an increasingly difficult question to answer in the modern world. Why? Because of these commotions, of the way the information's delivered, the toxicity of social media.
Right.
I would say it's more toxic than useful. And we do our best to navigate it for the best uses that we can.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Most High is a mastermind in how he put that stuff out there. But it's a lot of toxicity all over the internet. Look at these stupid challenges that kids mm-hmm. are doing.
Right.
I tell my kids, you better not do, and I don't care what type of...
See, you're standing on no crates.
Right. No type of craziness.
What was that, Alexa?
Did oh, man, that? Yeah, I had posted the... Freaking Alexa, little girl asked Alexa, give me something interesting and fun to do. Alexa told her, take a socket, pull it out a little bit, a plug,
right.
and touch a penny to it.
Yeah. Oh,
girl got electrocuted.
Bro.
I said, oh, I don't think she died, but got electrocuted.
She wanted a challenge.
Right.
Alexa yeah.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Alexa, give me a challenge. Alexa challenged her to basically stick a metal piece in the socket.
Right, man. A live socket.
A live socket.
It's crazy.
So, I'll tell you, it's evil. It's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. That stuff is witchcraft. So it says, today, people can effectively switch genders in the morning by changing clothes, hair, and makeup, or can even choose a different gender before kindergarten. This is confusing, and I feel your frustration and confusion. And we say that to every Black and Latino man that's watching this show. We feel your frustration and your confusion, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you read in the scriptures where he talks about all the different behaviors and he says, such were some of you,
right?
We at one time also were in the midst of these things,
mm-hmm.
right? So we understand your confusion. And then he very bluntly says, if you have a penis and testicles, you are probably a man. And if you want to get into that gender thing, he says, or at least a male.
Right.
Damn.
Because what defines a man is the character, the characteristics,
right.
the values that you have in you. But at the very least, you're a male. Mm. You got a penis. You got a Frankenbeans.
Right.
All right? You're a male. You are explicitly not a woman.
I love the sarcasm.
Yep.
Necessary.
As Chuck Palahniuk said in Fight Club, sticking feathers up your butt does not make you a chicken. So why are we confused as men? Shouldn't being a man be simple and fundamental? You would think so, right?
Right.
You would think so. But it's not. The agenda is against that. And they will take the casualties amongst their own. Because remember, I referenced Greece and Rome. They didn't care. They liked that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They did all that type of hedonistic type behavior. It's all about pleasure. It's all about self-fulfillment of your lust,
right.
of what feels good. Let me get the next thing. So there's a quote that sums this counterproductive practice up rather nice. He says, I don't recall where I heard it first, but it registered with me immediately. Right? This is now dealing with women. because he's going into the simp. Mm. Treat her like a celebrity, and she'll treat you like a fan.
Mm. You're 100% right. You hear that, brothers online? Stop chasing these.
Stop putting. I'm a quote.
Stop it.
Can we put up the clip from last week? I'm sorry, it was good. We got to put it up again. From 40-year-old virgin. What he's really saying, in other words, here, stop putting the pussy on a pedestal.
Right.
Like it's some great Greek goddess called Pussalia.
Right.
Sorry. Listen, you gonna listen to the Power Hour, or you gonna get it raw? I'm from the Bronx.
Oh, praise.
Right. I'm actually toned down since I've been out here in the Southwest a little bit. Play it.
Can I just interject for a second? Let me just say, you are building the pussy up, man.
Where are you even talking?
Can I just interject for a second? Let me just say, you are putting the pussy up on this pedestal. You're just building the pussy up, man.
What are you even talking about, building the pussy up? What does that mean?
You making the pussy into this great big Greek goddess named Pussalias, and what you're doing is you're psyching yourself into thinking it's some impossible feat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm putting the pussy up on a pedestal.
Right.
That's it. It's Pussalia, right?
Look where you going.
I don't want to say the word anymore.
Say what word?
Pussy. Fuck, I don't want to say it.
Pussy is a scientific word.
Stop. You see, he's trying to give him this lesson. Go back to the quote that we just read. And he's concerned with the language.
Right.
I don't want to say that word anymore. That's another mind trick of society. Again, we're not saying you run around. None of us run around and speak like that on the regular.
Right, right.
But for emphasis, to make a point, he's using a certain term there. Right. So he says, you treat her like a celebrity, put it on a pedestal, and she'll treat you like a fan. You see how they treat fans, celebrities?
Like nothing.
Like nothing.
Right.
Like maybe they'll give you a little attention here and there.
Take a picture.
And then when they don't want to, they just, man, Conor McGregor punch you in the damn face, man. I see people come up to him, but he's just hitting you. It says people will treat you the way you allow them to. I've always been a strong proponent to that. Especially for you men that are dealing with your wives, she gets away with what you let her get away with.
Right. Say that again.
This is even before the truth that this was my mantra.
Right.
You got a woman, and she don't go as you would have. Hey, that's the way the scripture tells you.
Right.
Get me that in Ephesians 5, where it talks about you build her up. I forgot what verse it is exactly. That's what it's saying in other terms.
Brothers, I hope y'all paying attention. Captain Yahshua is giving you $1 trillion worth of information, especially on verse 23.
25, start at.
Verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Right, we teach this. The Bible tells you that. You got a lot of people, again, because they're so offended by what goes against what they've been programmed to. I always reference the Matrix where he says some people are so ingrained, so lost in the Matrix that they'll fight to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And you fight to defend those ideals, not realizing that those things need to come down. Those stumbling blocks need to come down. Anything that exalts itself against God needs to come down. And you get so caught up in that. But in this lesson, Ephesians 5 is beautiful because everybody's always talking about the sisters. Oh, you don't go in on the men. Well, Ephesians 5 covers both of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to both. He says, so love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Come on.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Yeah. Listen, you what the real power in ruling your house correctly as you build yourself up as a strong man is you use the scriptures to guide that thing. But this is the part that I wanted where he says you will be treated the way you allow them to treat you. Read this verse.
That he might present it to himself, a glorious church.
That you present it to yourself. You're whining that she's this. You're whining and complaining that she's that. You have the authority and power vested in you by God.
Mm-hmm.
By God.
Say it again.
You have the authority and the power vested in you by God. I don't care what President Biden says. Mm-hmm. I don't care what any of these Momo, transgender, whatever freaking supposed leaders say, celebrities and entertainers that tell you this, that. I don't care what Dr. Phil says.
Mm.
They ain't above the Most High God.
That's right.
And God says you have the power and authority. You have, dare I say, the spiritual power.
Right.
not in the sense that you think of laying of hands and she just going to change, mm-hmm. but the spiritual power of these scriptures to present that wife to you, to get yourself to be treated the way you want, you present it to yourself, a glorious church. Come on.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
The power of as much as is possible, because this ain't the kingdom. Remember Isaiah 4 and 1, the prophecy there says there will be reproach.
Right.
Paul says there will be trouble in the flesh. Mm-hmm. But as much as God allows and is possible to present it to you without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Come on.
But that it should be holy and without blemish.
And read the next verse.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies.
Man, I tell you, men and women like to pull that in the pity-patty sympathy way. It talks about setting order.
Right.
You present, because what did Christ do on the scene? He set order.
That's right.
To the whole nation while he was here. And they killed him for it. And they killed him for it. So when it says here, people will treat you the way you allowed them to, and he's going into women here. It says you treat her like a celebrity, she'll treat you like a fan. And listen, it don't mean that you can't love. The scripture tells you live joyfully with the wife of thy youth, mm-hmm. right? Be all up in her bosoms. I'm really paraphrasing it when I say that. But it says be satisfied with her.
Right.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 7 says your body's not your own
right.
and hers is not her own. Right. You belong to each other in that regard. He says that when you supplant yourself, get the one about the preeminence, all right? It says, you know what I'm talking about?
Sirach?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
It says, people treat you the way you allow them to. And when you supplant yourself below someone by fetishizing their every feature, because like, damn, man, I like, so let's say you're a breast man, like they say.
Right.
You like big tatas, right? And she got big tatas. Man, you'll allow anything to go on because you don't want to lose the big tata.
And you get turned into a piece of bread.
And you get, right. Because that's really what that is. Mm. You're bringing that same whoremonger spirit into the marriage. Because a whoremonger spirit is a simp spirit. I can tell you from experience, because before this truth, I put
on a pedestal.
The pee on a pedestal.
Right.
And now I never got taken advantage of, but that was my purpose. Me going to work and all that, it was just to get to the days that I can go out to the spots where I can solicit Pussalia.
The goddess Pussalia.
So we know what we're talking about. We can empathize with you, not just sympathize with you, brothers. Right?
23 and 22.
That was right there.
You got it?
Yeah.
So it says don't supplant. He says you supplant yourself below someone. And you do so when you fetishize their every feature. You subconsciously tell them that they're better than you. See how spiritual that is?
That's heavy.
And it you subconsciously.
In your mind. Right.
Because your actions start to say a woman can sense that. And because the way the world is set up from the Willie Lynch, from prior to that up to now, with the feminism movement, they're conditioned and programmed to key in on that thing.
Right.
Hey, that whole movie, The Stepford Wives, talk about not the remake, the original. That whole movie, The Stepford Wives, they saw it as a bad thing that the wife was in subjection. That the men wanted that so much, yes, that they wanted it so much that they, I think the original, it was robots. And I think the remake, it was like a psychological conditioning that they did. In that regard, the remake was better. These men got together and they were programming their wives to be like the scriptures say in subjection to them, all this other stuff. And here comes, you know, Savaho and other sisters programmed with this world.
Right.
And they brought the whole thing down. That whole thing's like a similitude of what we're trying to do with the scriptures.
Right.
And, you know, so they framed it, of course, as dramatized that they were slaves and stuff like that because they were subservient to the men. That's a woman's glory. Go ahead, read this.
The book of Sirach, chapter 33 and verse 22. In all thy works, keep to thyself the preeminence.
Right. In all thy works and everything that you do, you keep your preeminence, your God-given authority, like we read in Ephesians 5, to present that to you the way you want it to present it to you. He says, when you put it on a pedestal, when you treat her like a celebrity, it says you supplant yourself below someone by fetishizing their every feature. It says you subconsciously tell them that they're better than you, and so they have no choice but to believe it.
Mm.
So not to take blame off of them, because again, Isaiah 4:1 says they'll realize in that day and say, take away our reproach.
Right.
All right. They're going to acknowledge what they did wrong. But the man is the one that guides and controls. And that goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got friends that punk you. You gave them that preeminence.
Right.
There's something that you're doing subconsciously in your behavior where you feel inferior to them or whatever it is, that they've getting that preeminence over you. Read this verse again.
In all thy works, keep to thyself the preeminence.
In all your works. All these little things, as we bring out these scriptures, as we cover this topic, is to give you awareness and the remedy. Awareness and the remedy. In everything
right.
you do, be mindful of your preeminence. Come on.
Leave not a stain in thine honor.
Because why? It's a dishonor to be like these simps that they programmed the men to be today.
Mm.
To feel like you can wake up in the morning and just decide that you're something that you're not. These women like they're celebrities. And sisters, this is not to say you're not without honor. But your honor comes after the man gets his honor.
That's right.
And that's based on what the scriptures say. So every sister should be in line with that, or else you're going to continue this perpetual loop that we're in.
Vicious cycle.
This vicious cycle until we get out of that. So there needs to be that support going on and all of that. You got something you wanted to add to
that? No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Give me the next
page. I'm trying to look for footage for you in regards to that goddess that you mentioned.
All right. Damn, there's a goddess puts a liar? Or you got something else that you're thinking about? So, it's a spirit of the times. That's the zeitgeist. We spoke about it briefly last episode, right? So, the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times tells you, give up your preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, I don't know if they put it back on their website, told you that they want to deconstruct the patriarchal hierarchy, meaning that they're okay with a man not leading the household. But they purport to be because they'll go out and they protest. I mean, what value are they bringing to the people when things like that are like, listen, we got into this mess because of our behavior.
Right.
And we're only going to get out of it when we correct our behavior. Mm-hmm. The Most High is no different than the way we parent. Your child does so behavior that's not acceptable.
Right.
You punish them.
Right.
Until the behavior changes. And the expectation when they come off punishment or whatever level of discipline you give them is based on their behavior changing.
Mm-hmm.
You better never do that ish again.
Right.
Right. Or next time it's going to be worse. Or next time it's going to be like this or like that. Mm-hmm. So it says the defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history as shown by the ideas and the beliefs of the time. Even they know that it's based on application that you show the spirit of the times. That thing's not inside. Christianity's, oh, your spirit. Right? What it, is it in James where he says, I'll show you my faith by my works?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So it's evident that it's done that way. So he gives a warning. He says, don't read this book if you're easily offended. Burn it instead. And I'll say, don't watch this show if you're easily offended.
Right.
Don't watch this series of episodes that we're going to go over. It says the book is rated R for relevant. Political correctness tells us that nothing is more important than the way people feel. That's the zeitgeist. That's the spirit of the times. Mm. All you need is love.
Right.
Nothing is more important. That's what they tell you. If something offends us, if it hurts our feelings, if it makes us feel that we have been treated unfairly, it is to be shunned and snuffed out from the public discourse. That's why time and time again, we get the reception that we get when we're out there teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's offensive to them
right.
to hear something that goes against the grain of what the spirit of the times tells them.
Right.
And you want to know what's heavy about that term, zeitgeist, right? Get me that in Ephesians, is it Ephesians 6, where it says about the whole armor? Mm.
Yes,
verse
sir.
11.
Verse 12, I want.
Okay.
Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 12.
Remember, the zeitgeist is the spirit of the times, right? It's telling you that the spirit of the times tells you that if you're treated unfairly or whatever it is that offends you, that's the cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Then it should be banished, right? Come on. Now, no examination, no nothing. Come on.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right? This isn't a rough'em, tough, rock'em, sock'em physical battle that we're in. Come on.
But against principalities.
That's those powerful men that he speaks about. He says, powerful men set this spirit of the times. Come on.
Against powers.
Right? That's, again, dealing with those powers, those governments that are on board with it as well. Come on.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Because that's darkness. Mm-hmm. Because hard times should create strong men, not weaker. Why are men weaker? And the times getting harder.
Right.
Why is prophecy being fulfilled in these last days? And we're turning out weaker and weaker men. Because we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Come on.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Go back up to Zeitgeist. What the definition of? Right? All the way up. It's a spirit of the times. It's the defining spirit or mood of a particular period or history. That's the dictionary's definition of it. It's the defining spirit. I'll tell you, there's no idle words in the Bible. The Most High did not put filler in the scriptures.
Right.
Every A, every I, every two, whatever it is that's in there, even those have emphasis. Even those have power. So when it says it's spiritual wickedness, it's letting us know that we must fight against the spirit of the different times that we lived in. Because though they manifest itself in different ways and how it's pushed out, it's the same spirit historically. You find it in the Bible.
Right.
It's the same tactics. That's how it's set up. Come on, scroll down on this. So he says, we believe this because we are trying to love one another. Because that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's Christianity's message.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and we are afraid of not accomplishing our goals or seizing our dreams, afraid of death. Come on. And it's true, because that's what they do to managers. We want to construct an artificial world around us that will shield us from these negative. Did I continue it in the next thing?
Yes.
We want to construct that tape. She just went there. We want to construct an artificial world around us that will shield us from these negative and unnecessary parts of life.
Mm.
Rather than face the change, rather than gird up our loins
and
deal with it, it says we want to create an artificial world around us.
Right.
Right? That's like when you read where it says we declare plainly that we seek a country and a better one.
Right.
Right? It says, we construct an artificial world around us. Scroll up a little bit. Go back before.
I have to go to the last picture.
Yeah, go back to the last picture. I just want to see if there's a word there.
That's with the fear is nothing else but a betraying of the succors, which reason offering.
Right. That's a good one. You want to read that?
Yeah, where's it at?
Go ahead, bring it out. Oh, I don't know. Well, you got to search for it.
Wisdom of Solomon?
Come on, that's man.
And then I want to get, after you bring that out here, and then I want Hebrews 11.
Fear is a what?
Fear is nothing else but a betraying of the succors.
17:12.
Yeah.
Wisdom of Solomon. You want me to read it for you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I got a cup.
All right, go ahead.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 17, verse 12. For fear is nothing else but a betraying of the succors which reason offers.
So the scripture says fear is nothing else. It's telling us what fear is. It's a betraying of the comforts that reason offers. We get our reason from the scriptures. So just like what the article was saying right there is we try to build that false reality based on the spirit of the times instead of going to the Bible, which is the source, to actually reason through what's happening and how to overcome what's happening.
Damn. Okay. All right. Yeah, soldier.
Trying.
Bring it out. I saw some beard hairs grow off of that one.
Just a little bit.
Just now.
I'll take it.
Just now. I saw some filling happening. And now you just got to add this right here.
Okay.
Let me get Hebrews 11 and let me start at 13, right?
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 13.
I'm going here because we read that he's talking about this artificial world because we're afraid, right? Our goals. We're not free seizing our dreams. Come on, go to the next thing real quick. Don't read it yet. Go to the next thing where it's big. It says we want to construct an artificial world around us. That's this artificial world. We don't even want to construct our own.
Mm-hmm.
We construct the artificial world that they've planted in our mind.
Right.
That they've, programmed into us.
Man.
He says, and we want it because we want it to shield us from these negative and what we think are unnecessary parts of life. But he says, in doing so, we leave ourselves unprepared for the realities of the world.
Mm.
And you're weak. So it makes me think of this scripture here when it talks about that artificial, right? Let's read this, Hebrews 11 and 13.
Verse 13.
These all died in faith.
And when you read Hebrews 11, he gives examples of our various forefathers and how they displayed their faith and their belief. Come on.
Not having received the promises.
Right.
But having seen them afar off.
So they knew what the scriptures said, right? But they didn't live those promises yet. None of us have, right? It's still there. So he's letting you know that they are that same example. It's not like they got some benefit from their faith, right? I mean, there is a benefit from it.
Right.
But they didn't receive those promises, but they saw them afar off in prophecy in the scripture. Come on.
And were persuaded of them.
And those things persuaded them. Because persuasion is not a bad thing when it's done in the right spirit.
Right.
The spirit of the Bible, which is for all times, and not this spirit of the times that's the zeitgeist of what we deal with. It says they were persuaded of them. Because we read you can have popular persuasions, right, that are to keep you from this. Or you can be persuaded by the spirit of this Bible and of these words, all right? And it come on, and then it says what?
And embrace
And
them.
Embrace those things, read.
And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
You don't need this artificial world. You have to realize that it's artificial. And that we're strangers and pilgrims. That this is not our rest.
Right.
A pilgrim is a sojourner. That this is temporary. We have something waiting for us. Read on.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
We want the real promise of what the world to come is supposed to be like. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
That's what we're seeking. Read on.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out.
Ah, but here's the caveat. If we'd have been mindful, notice where we have time. I got these scriptures to go over it. I don't know if we're going to have time. I'll probably have to carry it over to the next show. But that's the way the power hour works. We get you amped up, excited. We build up to that.
Right.
Right? And then you kind of get the cliffhanger until the following week. Keep you coming back. All right? I'm gonna expound upon that a little bit as well. He says, if you've been mindful of that country from whence they came out, the Most High granted us immortality from the beginning, but then the lust of other things, sin entered in, and it blotted that thing out. Come on.
They might have had opportunity to have returned.
He says if we'd have been mindful of those things, we might have had opportunity to return, because he told us, when you read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15, he says, if you do all these things, then I'm going to give you all this, this, and the other.
Right.
And he tried in some respect. Right. When he gave us the promised land, we were thinking that was it. We were thinking that was the prophecy. This is going to be the final thing.
Right.
But he knew. He foreknew, and he knew what was going to go down. When he gave us a king when we wanted king, he gave us kings. We had ups and downs of prosperity as a people.
Right.
So he gave us a taste to remind us to return back to him. And we squandered it each time as a people. Though there was a remnant that endured, and but as a people. So I say the challenging thing in this walk is that you're judged alone, but we got to get there together.
Right.
I can be the best Israelite I can be, but if the rest of the elect aren't sealed, if we don't do what's demanded of us, like we read in Job, all right, we ain't going to get there.
That's right.
We have to get there together with the ups and downs. This is what pushes us. This is what demands us. This is what drives us to put this information out there. Right? Come on.
But now they desire a better country.
It says, oh, but you know what? We want a better country, not this artificial thing. Now we desire a better country. Come on.
That is, and heavenly.
Again, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Come on.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God.
This is the part I wanted to get to. We got all these fears, all these expectations put on us of this artificial world.
All these ideas.
And we want to shield that, and we roll with that. That's why God's ashamed of us. He's like, man, I gave you the real, organic, homegrown, my spirit in all these things.
Right.
He goes, and you want this artificial?
GMO.
Where, like he says in Romans 8, 19, the earnest expectation of the creature, the weight of the manifestation of the sons of God. It says the whole creation moans and groans with us as we go through these afflictions.
Right.
They're subject to the vanity of the heathen in these days. It's all artificial. He says, I got something better for you. But you want this? You want to be in the burning house?
Because right.
That's what this present world is set up for. To be burned down, literally, with spiritual hot hellfire. Because they're going to burn it down.
Yep.
It's like, damn, I don't want to go too off topic. Can't look up. I spoke about it. Bishop was talking to me about it a little bit in text, and he was showed me some scriptural things that he saw in it. And I was saying, you know, the whole thing is like that it's a meteor coming to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about as close as they'll get to actually saying the truth of what the Bible says. The meteor represents Christ
right.
coming and the sky cracking open.
Mm-hmm.
And it means an extinction level event for their kind.
Right.
Right. And how they try to escape from it. And so I don't want to get too much into it. I was really hoping he'd do a commentary on it because he was breaking all types of stuff down. And did you see it?
I didn't see the movie.
Oh, man. You got to check it out. It's on Netflix. It's pretty good. It's pretty. You know what? We'll see how we're kicking it on Friday. Maybe we'll watch it when the other captains are here.
Bring it out.
he got all excited. You haven't even been invited.
Come on, man.
That's a shy in the booth. It says God is ashamed of us when we behave this way, when we seek this artificial world. It says, but if you embrace the spirituality of these scriptures, if you embrace this and not the spirit of the times,
right.
if you move forward to apply the behaviors that's in here by action, then he says, you're going to see and you're going to be in a place where I'm not ashamed to be your God. I tell you, I got to remind myself of this often because you tend to get comfortable in this walk and you feel a certain way about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I brought out in class last week. I'm just an unprofitable servant, right?
Right.
That's like, I'm just a man. I'm just an unprofitable servant. And you got to remember that all this time because I got to remember God is ashamed of us right now. But it says when we get this heavenly country, it's not going to be ashamed to call our God. That's what this verse is saying. Read it again.
But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
Right. He has that better country, that better place for us prepared. You got something, Kat?
I wanted to say what you just said, how you got to remind yourself constantly. Respect over ego.
Mm-hmm.
That's a motto that I try to live by. Mm. Respect over ego. Your ego will get you killed. Your ego is going to prevent you from becoming that man that the Most High wants you to be. You have to have respect for the Most High first and foremost, and the leaders that he set over us in these times. Mm-hmm. And trust them. There's another scripture. Where is it? Isaiah 3 or 4, where it says wisdom and stability shall be the
Isaiah 30.
Yes, let's get that. Yeah, I was way off.
33.
Yes, sir. Let's get that.
I'm always way off. But I know what's in there.
You want me to start at verse 5?
Verse 6. 33 and 6.
Start at verse 6.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time.
So wisdom and knowledge of the Most High's laws shall be the stability of thy time. That's what's going to keep us stable. All right? Keep us sane. All right? Now, Cap was bringing out about the spirits of the times. Don't follow the spirit of the times. So that's what's going to make you insane.
Right. Mm. Right.
All right, that's going to make you look crazy in the eyes of the Most High.
Come out from among him, be separate.
Yes.
Right.
Come on.
Read. And strength of salvation.
And strength of salvation, come on.
The fear of the Lord is his treasure.
And the keeping of God's commandments is his treasures.
That's when he gets a little glint of pride in us, and he's not ashamed.
Right, right.
When he sees us like that, that's why the angels in heaven rejoice when one repents, mm-hmm. right? But as a people, it's shameful until we inherit that heavenly place. It's going to be here. That's that turning of things upside down like we brought up. Like, it's going to be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Right.
He's going to fix this whole thing. He's going to fix this whole thing here. So let's go back to here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Real quick, want to let the people know that we were off Facebook because of the clip, but we're back on now.
Okay. So those of you who were on Facebook, yeah, Facebook been messing with us hard, man, even last week. I see only one viewer. We're back on. I know some of you prefer to watch on Facebook and the different interaction and stuff, and that's fine. We like the support on there. It helps us with the algorithms on there and everything. But if you get booted from Facebook, you could just jump to the YouTube until we get the Facebook back up so you don't miss anything. All right. Damn, they freaking get us down for that clip. It says this book discusses, let me go back. We want to construct an artificial world around us that will shield us from these negative and unnecessary parts of life. But in doing so, we leave ourselves unprepared for the realities of the world. When the realities of life hit, they are that much more surprising, that much more brutal, and that much more devastating.
Mm.
This book discusses money, sex, religion, and politics. Major topics that are offensive to large groups of people because they challenge popular core belief systems fed to us by major sources like schools, parents, and churches, which are all agents of socialization. Those things are how we learn and process through different stages in the life cycle. All right. Many of us have belief systems that we never really chose, but rather just inherited without thinking for ourselves. Mm. And some people would say, oh, well, you know, the Bible and what you're teaching. None of us, for the most part in this walk, inherited this actual belief stuff.
Right.
Right. We didn't inherit this proper understanding, this spirituality of this Bible. All right. We inherited the belief systems of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. Like with Christmas, you're not downboarded out. You just do it because your parents did it, and that's what you were taught.
Right.
You just do it because the rest of the world does it.
Right.
Traditions of men.
It's traditions of men. It's rudiments of this world, but not the whole. It's artificial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we roll through it. Let me get the next one. It says, devotion to the truth is the hallmark of morality. Mm, that's heavy. I think I had touched on that in one of the classes I had done, dealing with levels of devotion,
right?
And I was talking about how when you're devoted to something, you don't need motivation to do it.
Right.
You have the discipline to continue on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like it's a challenge. It doesn't feel like it's a chore, right? Devotion, right? Will take you to new heights in your walk in this truth. Devotion will take you to new heights in anything.
Right.
Those professional athletes that reach the upper echelon of their fields, right, we're talking about Michael Jordan, LeBron, all these guys, right? Mm-hmm. It's because they were devoted to their craft. Mm-hmm. Our profession, our craft is this Bible, these scriptures.
Right.
And when you're devoted, you don't come to me with questions about staying motivated in this walk. That means you haven't really embraced where you're at in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, discipline and devotion will get you so much further in anything in life than this artificial fabrication of things. So devotion to the truth is the hallmark of morality. There is no greater, nobler, more heroic form of devotion than the act of a man who assumes the responsibility of thinking, meaning thinking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the matrix for what it is, seeing the programming for what it is. He says too many people would rather be popular than discuss the truth, and that's the truth.
Right,
right.
You're worried about what other people are going to say. You're trimming your ways to seek love.
Mm-hmm.
It says, this book contains unpopular viewpoints, so does the whole Bible, that go against the narrative of current society. The spiritual wickedness in high places. The strong men of the past created good times for us. Our forefathers, those strong men, during certain times, they created good times for us. It says, but the current good times have created weak men. It's the age of decadence. This is the decline of this present world. That's that miry clay. It's not a solid society.
Right.
It's not a strong nation that's going to stand forever. It says, but the current good times have created weak men. We now live in a time of weak men with weak bodies. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Our brothers don't take care of themselves. They don't care for. I'm not saying everybody got to be ripped and with six packs. That's a little unrealistic. All right. Don't be some fat body that can't even just stand in formation for a while.
Right.
Can't even finish a short march.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even play with your children or defend somebody if you need to. Defend your brother in camp or whatever. It says, hey, and we have things in place for that. We have the Men of Valor program, which is moved by the Spirit of the Most High. We have the 300, which takes it a step further.
Camp 101.
That falls under the Men of Valor. All those things are supposed to help us, right? So it says, we now live in a time of weak men with weak bodies, weak minds, weak spirits, weak attitudes, weak emotions. Everything offends you. Everybody's against me. Weak activity, right? If your faith is strong, you're going to make things happen. And most of all, weak philosophy, because it's not based on these scriptures.
That's right.
It's based on the spirit of these times. The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority. That's going to get you killed. That's why the scripture talks about enter in at the straight gate,
right.
That narrow path. That's not where the majority goes. But to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. Man, oh man, that's heavy. Just letting you know that. That goes into that what once was is here again. right? You've heard the term, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Right.
And I said earlier, I said, the spirit of the times has been the same spirit. It's just manifested differently because of the epoch, meaning the current time cycle of what we're in. And we're in a time now with technology and all this other stuff, right? Once upon a time, it was swords and steel, and it manifested itself in different ways,
right.
All right? But it says, and this is so true, it's based on what the scripture is, right? Saying that we seek a better country and be persuaded and embraced by the spirit of the scriptures and apply that in your behavior to every aspect of your life. And that's, don't be on the side of the majority. Be against that. And escape finding yourself in the ranks of the insane, because anything else is insanity. Right. It's insanity to walk away from this truth, to walk away from this Bible, to walk away from like-minded brothers and sisters that are striving for the same thing for our people.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going back to? That's insanity.
Right.
That's insanity. You got anything, Cap?
Well, I wanted to say, scripture says, don't follow a multitude to do evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's that word majority right there is going into.
Right.
That's right. That's right. But I'm telling you, the Bible will pull you out of this mess. Will pull you out of this matrix. You'll see it for what it is until the whole thing can come down.
Right.
Until the whole thing can come down. What else we got? Okay, I'll read that. I'm still not getting to where I really want to get. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think I'm going to get to it. Oh, we got some time. I might start on it. I didn't even get to the talk. I said, today's topic is called From Boys to Men, the talk every black and Latino man needs. I didn't even get to that. I was probably just going to have to be part two when I go to next week. You know, Spirit's bringing different things out. It says, there's no more time left for weakness or weak men. The time is short.
Right.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand, so we must repent.
That's right.
I'll tell you that. There's no more time left for weakness or weak men. There is not. That we are in the age of decadence of this last kingdom in the earth. The signs are everywhere. Prophecies being fulfilled left and right. It's those last days. There's no time. There's no time. That's why we roll with the sense of urgency. There's no time. It says, it is time to bring back strong men. That's the Israelite men.
Mm-hmm.
That's that great exceeding army standing on their feet.
Oh.
And a strong man mentality. A strong man mentality. Not treating the woman like a celebrity. Not allowing your kids to go through growing up, letting this world feed them and feed their spirit. Not allowing these young men that are here that never had the father, and if they did, it was a father whose spirit was the spirit of these times.
Right.
Which is not a father at all.
Absent-minded.
Absent-minded. It says if we leave society in the hands of weak men, if we leave the nation of Israel in the hands of weak men, we in the Western world will cease to exist. Oh, they will. To exist, just all great empires of the world have fallen when in the custody of weak men.
Mm.
When the empire falls, the tribe becomes extinct. Historically, good times created weak men, and weak men succumb to hard times. Today, hard times are coming. I'll tell you that they're here.
Right.
History repeats itself on an 80-year social cycle from good times to hard times. And at the time of writing, we are at the end of this cycle. Esau got this whole thing where they deal with times and numbers, right? So I wouldn't take that lightly when he's talking about that, because you're seeing that now.
Manifest.
This is explained later in this book. Men will be forced to become strong once more. Do not be offended by this book. Rather, open your mind to the counter viewpoints inside and allow them to challenge society's popular narrative. What is popular is not always right. Certainly is not always right. And what is right is not always popular. Reject the basic assumptions of civilization. That's from a movie. I love Fight Club. That's a great flick. I didn't realize some of these quotes in there. He said, reject the basic assumptions of civilization. So society is set up to churn out what it needs to maintain the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, and at whatever cost, it's going to do that. It's going to do that. Go on, next. You had something? You were flipping pages.
Yeah, no, I was looking at Ciroc, too. Because what it brought out.
Bring it out. I told you I'd speak.
All right.
Speak.
Bring it out.
Get Ciroc 10. And was it 2?
The judge of the people is himself?
No, wise king is the upholding of his people. Is it Sirach 2? I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it.
What's it say? Let me look it up.
A wise king is the upholding of his people.
Okay, a wise king. Wisdom 6 and 24.
That
Hey, that's heavy. Even the first part of that verse is heavy.
That's one of my favorite scriptures, too. I just mixed it up.
Damn, you got all up in Wisdom of Solomon.
Hey,
was it when Solomon? I brought out that it was like Solomon's prayer, like in detail?
Back at the old school.
Yeah, when I
fell in love with
the book. I remember, I remember seeing your face like all happy and stuff when I brought that out. Now that you say that, I said, damn, this brother. And then I remember you would post stuff from Wisdom of Solomon in the groups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
Yes, sir.
This looks like a banger. Go ahead.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 24. But the multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world.
And that's what we're trying to build right now. The so-called Black, Hispanic, Native American men, we're trying to build strong men because the multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world. We know the world is Israel. Keep reading.
And a wise king is the upholding of the people.
And that wise king is the upholding of the people. We just read in the article that weak men is what allows societies to fall.
Right.
So a wise king is going to understand the times of that they're living in and continue to move wisely, build themselves up spiritually, physically, and be prepared to uphold their people.
Where's that one where it says, except there be a remnant, we'd all be as Sodom and Gomorrah?
Isaiah.
But don't lose where you're at in wisdom. Yeah, bring that out. Because when I read the first part of that in wisdom, it made me think of this scripture. All right.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 9.
Before you read that, read the first part of Wisdom 6 and 24 you at.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 24. But the multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world.
So it says the multitude of the wise, what gives you wisdom, is these scriptures. That multitude of the wise is those men that are leading, that are keeping these commandments, applying it in their homes, mm-hmm. applying it individually, and applying it in their congregations.
Right.
And it says they're the welfare of the world, meaning without that, the world of Israel is doomed, because that's the world it's talking about.
Right.
The world of Israel is doomed without that. Read that verse again.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, 6, verse 24. Read but the out. Multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world.
The multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world. Now read what I told you to get in Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant.
Except the Lord of hosts had led that remnant of wise men, come on.
We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah.
Hey, and that's specifically what we're talking about here with that feminism, with that Sodom and Gomorrah type of spirit. It's all about what feels good. It's all about what doesn't offend me.
Mm.
So to me, that's a perfect precept for what we just read there.
That's heavy.
Because that's what maintains the welfare of the world of Israel today. That's what maintains the welfare of the world of Israel today. Read it again, Wisdom 6, and then jump straight to Isaiah.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, 6, verse 24. But the multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world.
The multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world.
And a wise king is the upholding of the people.
Right, because they will uphold the people. That's why when you read this in Isaiah, come on.
The book of Isaiah, 1, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been like as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah.
God left a remnant, which in wisdom he called it the multitude of the wise, right? I mean, it's not just one brother. Remember, I said you can't do this alone, all right? There's an elect number that needs to be sealed. That's who he's talking about. That's right. That remnant. He said we would all be as Sodom and Gomorrah, which is destroyed.
Right.
Because what was Sodom and Gomorrah's fate? With that manly, panby spirit.
Destruction.
Destruction. Death. Damn, that's a good script in wisdom you pulled out, soldier.
All praises.
It says, if this book offends you, good. Offense taken to the truth laid down in these pages. And he's talking about his book, but I'm going to talk about this most sacred holy Bible.
Right. That's right.
Offense taken to the truth laid down in these pages means that something you believe is based on weakness.
Based on weakness.
Hey. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's what they say, right?
Right.
Don't smoke, though. That's a sin.
Bruh.
Right? It says, if you're offended by something that comes out, it's because something you believe is based on weakness. Because wise men don't take offense to things. They examine them. They think.
Right.
They process. And if you're a spiritual man, you're going to process it in the spirit based on what you've learned and applied in the scriptures. swipe. Cap, anytime you got something, just don't hesitate. It says, let's see, what do I want here?
I think you already had this page too, Cap.
The book smarts, no street smarts, and are simply not very bright. Period. It's harsh, but it's true. So, I don't think I read this one. This book rather painfully rips off the political bandaid. Did I eventually heal into scar tissue? Did I read that last week? No, let me just read it again. Regardless, my lesson plan. Look, I got my lesson plan here. I haven't even gone into my lesson plan. I just something totally different came out today.
That's the spirit.
Something totally different. I guess my lesson plan is I got the show ready for next week. Lord's Will Life Last. So we're gonna read this. Come on. It says go all the way to the top, all the way up. Okay. So he talks about strength from a time when men were strong, admired by women, feared by their enemies, and respected by their families. And you have the opposite now. So it says today we have the opposite. Men are weak, disrespected by women, laughed at by their enemies, and paid little respect by their children. Weak men of today deserve little respect as they drift from job to job and never actually take responsibility for their lives and problems, letting you know that a characteristic of a weak man is a man that's... I'm trying to find myself.
Right.
Listen, you get to the point where you got a family. I'm not saying try to look for something better for yourselves, but a lot of times those brothers that drift from job to job is because they're trying to find fulfillment in something
mm-hmm.
other than the scriptures, other than in the building of their family.
Right.
Money is a defense. Money is a means to make something happen. I'm not saying don't try to find something fulfilling, but when it's at the cost of the stability of your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're never going to be able to continue to build yourself up the way you need to. There's a bigger mission there.
Right.
So what I mean is find something that's productive, that you can make money and pay the bills, and stick with it.
Right.
And if you leave to something else, then leave to something that's actually going to be for a betterment for the family.
Right.
But there's a lot of brothers that do that, but under the guise of, let me tell you something, there's a ceiling on money in this world. There is. Man, I used to work in banking. I was a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
My bonuses alone were six figures on top of the six figures I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And I was empty. It's before the truth.
Right.
I mean, I was still in the job once I started to repent, but I saw it for what it was. I was empty. I was unfulfilled. I was driving the car I wanted. I owned my own house. I had designer suits, ties. I had the whoremonger spirit out there all over the place. Depressed on my couch, unfulfilled, without purpose.
Right.
And that's when the Most High chose to bring the word to me.
Mm.
That's when he said, hey, man, you know what? I got the answer for you. And I was trying to, hey, that's why I realize now, man, I was a whomonger because I was trying to find something. I was trying to find some fulfillment.
Something was missing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just from one thing to the next, chasing the next thing, the next thrill, the next high, right? Whatever it was. That's what it was. That's
right.
Exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. To feed that dopamine. Unstable in all my ways. Unstable in all my ways. And the scripture brought me out of that. The scripture brought me out of that. And I became a strong man because I was one of these weak men because I was going by the spirit of the times. And I dare say every man before this truth was going by the spirit of the times.
Right.
So anybody that was able to pull themselves up out of this, now you're that spiritual father. Now you're there that you have to be that teacher, that leader. You have to be counted amongst those multitude of wise ones that's there for the welfare of the world.
Right.
He says, I labor not for myself only, but for all they that desire learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. So he says, today we have the opposite. Men are weak, disrespected by women, laughed at by their enemies, and paid little respect by their children. The weak men of today deserve little respect as they drift from job to job and never actually take responsibility for their lives and problems. Some of us have neither book smarts nor street smarts and are simply not very bright.
Mm.
Period. It's harsh, but it's true. Some people out there are stupid, except
Sodish.
It is. Sodish children, that's right. What, Jeremiah?
Mm-hmm.
It says, but regardless of where you are on Mother Nature's intelligence scale, I'll say God's intelligence scale, all
right?
You need to do what all animals in the wild do, adapt. God made us so that we can adapt. Remember, Romans 12 and 2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind,
right,
and be not conformed to this world.
Right.
You adapt. You don't fall
That's
with the
right.
spirit of the times. You adapt. It's the same spirit. A remnant of our forefathers were always able to adapt. You see that historically. There's no excuse for us not to be able to adapt in order to maintain God's heritage. So he says, you adapt. Some people out there are stupid, accept it. But regardless of where you are, on, I'm going to say God's intelligence scale, you need to do what all animals do in the wild. I'm going to say what all creation does and adapt. Take your weakness as realities and acknowledge them. Mm. Examine yourself.
Right.
Examine yourself, whether you really be in this faith. You know how many brothers dressed apart, wearing their fringes, giving the shaloms, coming every Sabbath. I'm telling you, I'll go back to a Bishop Canal. You think the 144 are the 144 because they wore fringes and kept the Sabbath?
Not at all.
It's more than that. It's deeper than that. You think you're going to get salvation just because you wear fringes? It says your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees.
Right.
The Pharisees wore the biggest fringes, the largest phylacteries. Yet God said your righteousness must exceed theirs. It must exceed theirs. He says, so you take those weakness as realities and acknowledge them. Find your strengths and find a way. Your strengths are that's that spiritual gifts. That's that manifestation of the spirit. Find your place and your spot for the mission here and fulfill it. And fulfill it. He says, recognize that your situation is unfair and then get over it. Succeed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This book rather painfully rips off the politically correct band-aids that society has placed over fragile bleeding wounds of weakness.
That's right.
Yellow makes me sad.
Right.
When we expose bleeding wounds to the air, they clot, form scabs, and eventually heal into scar tissue.
No character. No, that made me think of, can I get one more?
Go ahead, brother.
Get Jeremiah 30 real quick. I was meditating on this earlier.
We still got time. I think we got about 15 minutes or so.
We got a lot of
sickness. And ain't nobody on after us, so if we went a little over, we all right.
Got a lot of sickness going on in Israel right now. Get Jeremiah 30 and 16. And then just along with what's going on right now with what the article just brought out.
Mm.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 16.
Bring it out!
Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured.
He said it's hard times. Hard times, things are going to be happening. There are people that are trying to devour us right now. Keep reading.
And all thy adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity.
We already know it's prophesied in Revelation. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Read.
And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil.
Right now, Israel, they think is a spoil. They take advantage of us in many ways, whether it's the system that's set up against us. You have food stamps. A lot of our men are weakened. You have media. A lot of different ways that we're being a spoil to the other nations. Read.
And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey.
God said those that are preying upon us, they want to take advantage of us. They want to use us, not allowing us to have access to the same resources, the same advantages that they have. They will become a prey. Read.
For I will restore health unto thee.
He will what?
I will restore health unto thee.
And in the article, it just said those hard times, it's gonna become scabs.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is going to be able to heal you. Mm-hmm. He said, for I will restore health unto thee. Read.
And I will heal thee of thy wounds.
The Lord said he's going to heal us of our wounds. It just read in the article is going into those wounds. We do have wounds. Those wounds are there. But the Lord is going to be able to heal us from those wounds. Read.
Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after.
Nobody wants us. We're a nation that's not desired. But the Lord said, come to him, and he will provide that healing.
Right. Finish him.
Soldier rolling in the spirit. All praise to the Most High. All praise. Damn, everybody said, damn, the hell with Facebook. There's only like 8 people on there now. There was a whole bunch before. They said, let's just jump to YouTube. Hey, all praises. That was heavy. Cap, you looking for something? You got something?
No, go ahead.
All right. So it says, this book rather painfully rips off the politically correct band-aids that society has placed over fragile bleeding wounds of weakness. When we expose bleeding wounds to the air, they clot, form scabs, and eventually heal into scar tissue. Do I got anything else?
Yeah.
Through pain and exposure, damn, you messed me up. Can you find where I'm at? You should have just moved it to there if it was there. for the whole part. Through pain and exposure to the way that things naturally are, we can heal those wounds in ways that the artificial bandage of society cannot. That's the scripture that the soldiers brought out. Mm. You'll hear those. Society does not have the answers for you.
Right.
The world, Dr. Phil's, all these different psychologists, psychiatrists, celebrity gurus and all this other stuff, they don't have the answers for you. God has the answers. God has your healing. The scripture tells you the whole head is sick and the heart is weak in Isaiah. God has those answers for us. Why is it weak? Why is it sick? Because of the ways of this world. Because that spiritual darkness in high places, that spiritual wickedness in high places, it has us jacked up. It says, to attempt to heal our wounds, the words of these pages were specifically focused on men. Men have been left out of important conversations in modern Western society in favor of women and women's rights. And you're damn right that's what's going on now. To the point where they even try to take our masculinity, our God-given authority, how he made a masculine and a feminine, and they go perfect together. You don't need another masculine. Remember, last week we spoke about there's this attraction to the other.
Right.
There's an infinite other, and there's an infinite attraction to it, because that's the way God made it. There's an attraction that way. It says, several of the ideological patterns that are destroying today's men and the strength of our society can be tracked back as far as the 1960s, when the women's movement began in earnest, when it blew up.
Amelia Bloomer.
Get me that where it says a woman shall compass a man? Because I've told you, that makes me, to me, that's the prophecy of feminism when it says that.
This author right here, he's an Edomite?
Yes.
Right from the mouth of Esau.
Right from the mouth of Esau. Right from the mouth of Esau, he's telling you. I know, I was looking and I was trying to see what he was. All right. Who knows, man? Maybe he wasn't. He looked like it, but though. Don't look for his picture. He looked like it. He says, if you want a conversation on women, this is the wrong book for you. I'll tell you the same thing in the Bible. He says, the flock of my pasture are men.
Right.
He says, God is a man of war. This is the wrong book for you. There are a glut of books on women stored in dark basements of most libraries and universities. We'll get back to that. You got this?
Is it Isaiah?
Jeremiah 31.
Jeremiah? I'm looking at the wrong one. 31 and 2?
I even forgot what I told you to call, but read it. It'll 22. Come back to me.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 22. Uh-huh. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter?
Right. He refers to Israel as the backsliding daughter. How long will we go about following the spirit of the times? How long will we go about following this whole thing that's, instead of talking about men and men's masculinity in a popular light, this whole feminist agenda, this whole... Go, scroll up. You're messing me up. Scroll up. You're scrolling down. When I say up, I mean I want up in the article. We've been doing this show for over a year. It says Western society... It's not even Western. It's the whole world.
Right.
It says men are left out of those conversations in favor of women and women's rights.
Mm.
And we fall into that ideological pattern that really started to bloom in the 1960s. That was the that in earnest. He didn't say it was the beginning. He says that's when the women's movement began in earnest. It began before that, when they put them in the factories, right? We've gone over Amelia Bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
They were wearing pants. Look, we're holding it down for the men while they're at the war, right? Read this again.
How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter?
He says, so how long, Israel, are you going to go about dealing with this artificial world and these artificial things, looking for answers, looking for healing? Come on.
For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth.
Starting in the 1960s in earnest, he created a new thing in the earth. Come on.
A woman shall compass a man.
Sisters try to take this to say, see, God ordained that women can be over men and teachers in the congregation.
Oh, man.
Remember, all things. God says, I create good and evil,
right,
the light and the darkness.
Mm.
All these things are to his plan. So he made a new thing. And he put it on their spirit to come up with the feminist movement. A woman shall compass a man. That's what you're seeing today. The conversation is in favor of women and women's rights, weakening our men, the effeminization of our men, the pussification of men, putting us in a mindset to put it on a pedestal and turn it into puss a liar. If you want a conversation on women, this is the wrong book for you. The Bible's the wrong book for you in that regard. There are a glut of books on women stored in dark basements of most libraries and universities that you can read instead. If you want to read about women or women's studies, just go to the universities of the world, because the feminist movement has all those topics. I remember that. Those were options. And you know why I considered when I was in college taking that? Because I knew a lot of chicks in the class.
Right.
That's a simp. I was a simp. It says, if you want to read about women's and women's studies, just go to the universities of the world. They will welcome you with open arms. And that's not to say that, listen, the Bible details what a woman's role is and everything, but it starts with the men. Right. He created a man first. We read over the divinity that he's given the man, the authority that he has, all right? It's the men that we have to focus on. If the Bible tells us get the women first in order, no, it says the woman is the glory of the man,
right.
Meaning it's the man's job to present it to himself.
Right.
And we can't do that till we get ourselves and our behavior right. It says they will welcome you with open arms, offer you a comprehensive degree on the subject, and expose you to a huge selection. How come there's no male studies at universities? You ever notice that? There are no male studies classes.
No.
There's no degrees in that.
Right.
The minute you talk about anything masculine, you get ostracized. Right. You get canceled.
Feelings coming in.
Feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you remove it from you. You create this artificial thing that doesn't exist and that can't sustain society. You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength.
Mm.
You can't change the world outside, but you could change
yourself.
The world of Israel. You can start by changing yourself,
mm-hmm.
change your actions, change how you deal with stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, be that example. Each one teach one. Right.
Right.
And each one moves on in something in that regard. What was the next page I had? I'll stop there and we can start doing closing thoughts. OK, I like this. Yep. I'll stop here and then we'll start with the stuff that I sent you today next week. He says, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. See, here's the thing behind that. That's Henry Ford when he invented the first automobile. Right. He says, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. We are ahead of our time in bringing out these scriptures. And that's the term that they use, right? We are seen as rebels. We are seen as revolutionaries, rightly so, because what we preach and what we teach is what our people have yet to realize they need.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing when he invented the automobile. He said, I had to go and do this with my understanding and what I knew was needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had went and tried to get the consensus of everybody of what they wanted, they would have said, breed faster horses.
That's heavy.
And he came up with something that just revolutionized.
Right.
He was thinking outside the box.
Thinking outside the box. And you know what thinking outside the box is? Thinking according to what God. Remember, our thoughts are not his thoughts.
Right.
His ways are higher than our ways. You can't go to the people and say, oh, well, what would you like? How would you like this to be run? What do you expect this to be? Give us your feedback on this, that, and the other. No. Listen, we need to go by this.
Right.
All creation follows orders. We the only ones that get all rebellious as hell with this stuff.
Right.
Anyway, Cap, you got some stuff you want to bring up?
Give me 1 Kings 2. I think it's 1 Kings 2, 1 and 2. All right, especially to you brothers that are watching. I just had a brother hit me up now. He said he's watching. You brothers with young sons at home. All right. All right, we got to destroy the simp and recreate the man.
Right. Hey, somebody said there's toxic masculinity, but no toxic femininity. That's not toxic.
Mm.
It's the truth.
Mm.
Hey, Cap.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 2 and verse 1.
Yeah.
Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die.
Now we all know about King David, one of the greatest kings in Israel. The greatest king in Israel outside of Christ. Go ahead.
And he charged Solomon, his son.
And he charged Solomon, his son, meaning he demanded Solomon, his son.
Wait. Don't worry about that, kid.
I go the way of all the earth.
Meaning I'm about to die. I'm about to give up the ghost. Go ahead.
Be thou strong, therefore.
Be thou strong, therefore. That's what we've been going over this whole topic about strong.
That's right.
Not only physically, but mentally and spiritually first and foremost. Go ahead.
And show thyself a man.
And show yourself a man. So you have to be exemplifying certain characteristics in order to show yourself a man. How do you do that? It explains it in the next verse. Go ahead.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God.
So you keep the charge of the Lord thy God in order to show yourself a man. What's the charge of the Lord thy God? Go ahead.
To walk in his ways.
That's what it's about. To walk not in our ways. Because our ways what breeds lust, envy, covetousness, idolatry, adultery, and so forth. Go ahead.
To keep his statutes.
To keep his statutes, God's statutes. Go ahead.
And his commandments.
And his commandments. Come on.
And his judgments.
And his judgments, which is going to do what? Thus resulting in what? Go ahead.
And his testimony.
Uh-huh.
As it is written in the law of Moses.
Read.
That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest.
That we may prosper as individuals first and foremost, and then as a nation. Mm. Okay? That's the only way we're going to prosper is by keeping the commandments of God. And keeping the commandments of God is the only way you're going to show yourself as a man. We got to make sure we instill this in our kids. This was a heavy, heavy, heavy class. I got to get this book. This was a heavy class. And right. You know what's crazy about it is the Edomite, he put the Spartan helmet. And we all know the Spartans uh-huh. were the Lacedaemonians, which are the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about us.
Right.
So all praise to the Most High, Cap. This was excellent.
All praise. Yeah, it's been on my – I had this book for a while. I've been sitting on it. It's been on my spirit to bring it out. And like I said, Lord's will, life lasts. I'm going to continue with this topic next week. We're going to keep going through it. I mean, you know, I was saying, damn, the book is kind of long. I got a lot of chapters. I said, I'm going to be here for like a year going over this week by week. I only get 2 hours every week.
Right.
I said, I might have to like jump ahead at some point. But the
What's the name of the book? People ask.
Hard Times Create Strong Men. Hey, but get me down to Ecclesiastes 12 about making many books. You got to understand something. Even though he's saying stuff that seems like it lines up with the Bible, the only reason it lines up with the Bible is because you have learned men that are showing you the similarities. I'm using something that has some plain talk and some plain examples and words of today. I'm not saying don't go read the book, right? I mean, that's fine. But you have to do it through the lens of the scriptures, right? With your spiritual eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, I'm pretty sure I haven't read the whole thing through. I'm kind of going through this with you. He might, just like most books, we have what they say, bones in them,
mm-hmm.
right? And there'll be some things in there that you'll come across that probably will be contrary to the scriptures. Well, I'll give you one example of this book. He's talking to all men.
Right.
Our message is only to the Israelite men. Don't care about anybody else. And that's fine. That's the medium that he's there in. But just be careful with the books because it can pull you away from the scriptural aspects of what we're trying to bring out, all right? Read this real quick.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished.
Right, so that's an admonition I just gave you. The Bible gives that admonition also, right? Come on.
Of making many books, there is no end.
Right? Of making many books. So make sure that you don't make it a habit that you're trying to go. Because I would say you're almost better served spending that extra time that you would read the book, reading the Bible.
Right.
And that's what I did. I mean, I used to be an avid reader prior to this truth. And I put away all those books, the different fiction, different topics of certain things that I would do because my time is better spent here, right? I think it's Isaiah 34, which says, none of these shall fail, none shall want her mate,
right?
The Bible's where that true strength comes from. And it takes a certain spirit and a learned spirit to be able to. That's, it kind of makes me laugh sometimes when everybody wants to buy a book that leadership brings out.
Right.
What are you going to do with it? You know, and I'm telling you from experience because I fell into that trap. And I went to buy books when I was young in this truth. And I'm like, well, where do I begin?
Right.
You're not necessarily going to see things in the spirit when you read these books right away. Mm-hmm. All right. So just be mindful of that. I'm not saying don't get it. Just be mindful of that. Right. Read it from the top again.
And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh.
Outside of the scriptures, because he's dealing with other books. Right. So it's a weariness of the flesh. It's going to wear you down. Because remember, John 6:63 says it's the spirit that can live. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It says these words, they are spirit and they are life.
Right.
That's not going to weary you studying in the Bible. That's going to build you up and that's going to get you where you need to be. By all means, get the book. It's powerful. There's good messages in there. But don't lose your focus over what the scripture says. Is that it in that verse?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts, Cap?
No, sir. That's it.
Cap, let's do the spotlight. Oh, we're going to do a spotlight real quick. Don't leave us yet. Don't leave us yet, fam.
That's right.
What are we spotlighting this week? Okay, rule like a king, not a tyrant.
Just right. Watched it. That's a great class.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All praises to the Most High. So this is our weekly spotlight, all right, on the IUIC Phoenix. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, just click on
subscribe,
subscribe, like, all of that.
you click on the IUIC Phoenix and then click videos, you can find the videos there. So rule like a king, not a tyrant. We've been highlighting classes that deal with the same type of topic, right? Manliness and things. And, you know, my spirit's always into, for the most part, I mean, I've done other type of topics, behavior. And it's from a personal place because I really needed to change my behavior. I thought I was successful based on what this artificial world said. I thought I was a man based on what this artificial world said. So it's near and dear to me, the behavior change that the scripture drove in me, that no religion before it did, no Bible in absence of the men that taught it to me did. So it's always important to me to focus on behavior because that's what's going to fix us. That's what's going to save us.
That's what's
going to
get us again.
Right. That's the type of stuff I really enjoy going into and that the Spirit moves me to speak about often. So, so check out that class. All right. I think they posted. Yeah, they posted it in the comment stream. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, Cap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Good job, brother.
Praises to the Most High. And just a heads up, that class, that's another fire class, too. That class was fire. Y'all comment on that class. Give it a thumbs up. Increase the algorithm, all right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We definitely need that. Don't take it for granted, brothers and sisters, when it comes to that stuff, all right? All right, so don't forget, are we doing English or Spanish on Saturday?
English.
All right, so we have the Power Hour, all right? That's the one-hour edition. That's exclusively on Facebook on Saturdays, all right? That's 11 a.m. Arizona time, okay? Don't miss that. You know what you're going over?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. So we got a mystery. It's like a box of chocolates. We don't know what we're going to get. It's all right. Check that out. And then Lord's will, next Wednesday, we'll be continuing on with the same topic about strong men. All right. Lord's will, life lasts. Continue to support and tune in. All right. Hey, Israel, prayers, fastings needed. A lot of sickness in the body. All right. Got a lot of things going on in these last days. Let's make sure that we stay in the spirit and pray without ceasing, all right? And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.